Blog Talk Radio.
Day from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is Sunday. This is a show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh and cry. We argue, fuss, and fight. We go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I'm your host, Sun752. A.K.A. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should also. So today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, we are talking about when they say they need a little help. I should have said when they say they only need a little help. Well, nonetheless, whether they put only in front of it, whether they qualify it that way, or whether they really mean that they just need a little help. We all need a little help. You know, from the time that we were children, we were taught to ask for some help when we didn't know something. Ask for something when we couldn't do something. Some of us made sure that we followed that to the letter, and some of us didn't do it that way because we knew that we were doing some things that we ain't had no business doing it, and we ain't want to get the team involved on the negative side. Nonetheless, we needed a little help when we needed a little help. So helping somebody can give you a really good feeling. It can give you a feeling of you know, providing a service, being helpful, giving charity, looking out, being there, showing a little bit of loyalty, faithfulness, confidence in a lot of situations. In a lot of situations, you might just be, you know, showing confidence in somebody. So there's nothing wrong with helping somebody, and there often comes a lot of good feelings with giving somebody some help. But what happens when somebody takes your helpfulness and tries to blow it up into something that ain't really working for you, something that ain't really that good for you? What happens then? And, you know, that can happen at the blink of an eye. It can. And it's a good way to get to know a person. You know that some people, you know that when they ask for some help, you know that you're going to be doing more than just helping. You're going to be actually doing the whole thing for them. And sometimes that can keep you from being available to help some people some of the times, or maybe even all of the time. Like, listen, I'm not going to do this whole thing for you. I will help you. I will point you in the right direction. But no, I'm not going to cheat for you. I'm not going to waste all of my or spend all of my day with you doing this. I will help you out. I will show you how to get there. But I'm not going to do it for you. Computers. Computers is one of those things that still a lot of people aren't good at. Especially senior citizens. Now, I ain't saying that no senior citizens know how to work a computer, because when you really think about it, senior citizens invented computers. It's the 60s and 70-year-olds right now that developed the first Apple computers, the first PCs, the Commodore 64, the Atari 400s and 800s, the instruments. It's the people who are in their 60s and 70s now that invented that. So, yeah, they know how to do it. But for the ones who weren't involved in that process, the ones who are still kind of antiquated in their technological abilities, they're still looking for the knobs and the buttons, the zippers and the clasps. Yeah, they might need some help working their computer, but what you might find out is that they need you to do the whole thing. So they really just want to show you their computer and dictate to you what they need done. And as you're trying to show them, teach them, instruct them, learn them a little something, they're like, well, can't you just do it for me this time? Can't you do it just for me this time? Can't you just do it for me this time? I get it next time. Get it next time. I'm paying attention to what you say, but I feel more comfortable if you do it for me. So, can you do it for me? Yeah. Can you do it for me? Yeah. It happens. And it happens a lot. And I get it. I get it. So, I run into those situations with dealing with certain seniors myself. They ask you for help, but you didn't understand exactly what they were asking for. They were asking you to do it. They weren't asking for help. Say a little pray for you forever and ever. All right. So you have to know your audience. You have to know your audience, brothers and sisters. You have to know when somebody is asking you for help and when they're asking you to actually do something for them. And that is helping. I ain't going front. That's helping. However, it may cause you to go a little over and beyond than you had originally expected to. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. You might just have to put them on. Like, listen, I'm not here to do this whole thing for you. Sometimes you got to warn them up front. Listen, I'm only helping you up until this point right here. That's it. Don't ask me to go no farther. You know how I go. Robbie Ming. My big sis doing a thing, something like a queen for a king. And T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going right in your sight. Uh-oh. This don't look right. It looks like y'all can't hear me. Can y'all hear me? Because I don't see that microphone thing. Wait. Oh, you can? Okay. Because there's a meter. Oh, loud and clear? Oh, okay. I was about to bail out. Loud and clear. That's what's up. Good looking out, my people. Good looking out. So, yeah. When somebody asks you for help, you sometimes you have to identify exactly what kind of help they're talking about. Because they may be talking about assisting, tagging along, moral support, being a witness, being security, being a recorder. Or they may be talking about being more than just a willing participant. They might be talking about you actually being there. I need you to be there. I need you to be more than there. I need you to do it. Sometimes they need you to help while they're doing something else. And there's nothing really wrong with that. It's just that you need to know exactly what you're working with and who you're dealing with before you deal with them. And sometimes you don't get an opportunity to do that. So, when I was in school and I was in college, university days, has anybody, for all my writers out there, has anybody ever asked you to help them write a paper and then you find out that they wanted you to write the damn paper? Remember those days? Who knows what I'm talking about? They don't give a shit that you got your own schoolwork to do. You have your own coursework. It ain't like you taking a semester off. It ain't like you dealing with a part-time schedule. You're a student just like they are. They're like, well, because I know you know how to put it together, so can you help me write this paper? I got a research paper. I need a research. You thinking that they need you to help them out with some of the bibliography work, like some of the references, some of the research items, some periodicals. That's what you thinking. You thinking y'all going to go to the stacks. That's the library. Y'all going to go to the stacks, help you look up some stuff, make sure that the grammar proof, make sure that the grammar is correct, make sure that, you proofread it, that you titled everything right, referenced everything right. You thinking that they needed help writing the paper or presenting the paper. No. Or maybe you thought they needed help typing the paper. Some people can't type. Like, yeah, I know I should have did this report. I should have did it last week, but I wrote it up. I wrote everything down. All I need you to do is help type it. And you find out that, first of all, they got 4 pages of chicken scratch. And they write so big that 4 pages is only going to add up to maybe a page and a half typed. If maybe you could double space it so it'll look like 4 pages. Like, even if I triple space this shit, like, this is equivalent to 3 paragraphs. This ain't no 4 pages. They wanted you to write the paper, man. You just got the memo. They needed you to write the paper. Here you are critiquing the paper. So they tell you, I asked you to help me. Yeah, you asked me to type it. Well, I mean,
Yeah, you typing it, but all you got to do is type what's there. Like, I'm not typing this. First of all, I can't read it. All right, well, I'll read it to you. First of all, you're not a professional administrative assistant. You're not there to take dictation. Plus, you got your own papers. You have your own exams. You have your own coursework. Speaking of exams, have you ever had somebody ask you to help them pass a test? So you're thinking, all right, so we're gonna get cue cards and to make sure that you know the answer to the test, the material, help you study. No, I need you to go in there with my ID and take the test. The test is in the auditorium. They not gonna know whether it's you or me. You take my ID, even though you don't need no ID. I just need you to go ahead and take. And you know what I used to think was the illest thing about somebody wanting you to take a test for them? Like, how do you know that they know the material? They like, well, because I took the test. I took the course last year. Like, you that thorough that you're sure you're going to pass this exam because you took the test last year? You took the course last year? People used to do it, though. I'll take this exam for you. I can see math. I can see math. That other stuff, I don't know. I know I would be a little, I don't know. I'm hesitant. I'm scared. I don't know. I don't know if this is a good look. Robbie Meek says, or they ask you to do a rough copy with all your work. Woo! Rough copy with all your wording. Yeah. Man, listen. Sometimes it might make you smile because you like, oh, you need me to actually do it? Mm-mm, that's going to cost you either money, food. You know how it is when you're in college. All right, cook me a dinner. This is what I want. My go-to, even though I never took a test for anybody. I wasn't that bored. I never had anybody take a test for me, but I didn't take a test for nobody. But if I was going to do a favor for you, food, because, you know, it's hard to get home-cooked food up at school. So if I knew you had an apartment, stove and all that, all right, this is what we're going to need. I need some fried chicken and some rice-a-roni and some broccoli. That's what I need, because that's what it was hard to get that up school. I had to come home to get some fried chicken, rice-a-roni, and some broccoli. To this day, I like fried chicken, rice-a-roni, and broccoli in a meal. My sister be getting bougie. She like rice-a-roni. Rice-a-roni. I like that shit. All flavors. I like rice-a-roni. And I like it in a pan. Yeah, you can do the microwave, but I like it in the pan. I like to see it being fried. Yeah, I like it. But anyway, yeah, you find out that, you know, you were actually being summoned to do a project instead of help with a project. You think you're just going to come there for maybe a couple of hours, help your peoples out, and go back to your dorm or go do whatever it is you're going to do. Nope, you tied up for the whole day. Either that, or they just put you on a schedule to go do this thing for them. You know, there were a lot of people in college that really shouldn't have been there. I remember leaving people's cribs or study sessions or whatever, thinking like, they're going to be in trouble. Like, how did you get in here? I mean, I guess they were smart in other ways. However, remember, back in the day, they said it's not the smartest person that gets through college. It's the person that learns the most about getting through college that gets through college. And that was true. It was true, baby. Rock this at the drop of a dime, baby. But yeah, those were the days. So whether it's helping somebody move, whether it's helping somebody with their coursework or whatever, when you find out that they actually need you to do it, yeah. Sometimes it can get really, really problematic. Like somebody tells you, well, you know, I got to go to my baby mom. I got to go to my baby mom, father. Well, I got to go to my ex crib to get something. And I just want you to be there to make sure that everything is okay. Make sure that I'm okay. Make sure that, you know, there's no negative confrontation. So you're thinking like, okay, yeah. Go there, support my people, make sure that nothing happened to them. They didn't tell you that they really wanted you there because they was directly going there to fight. They didn't tell you that they was going there to throw the first punch. They didn't tell you that they was going there unannounced. They didn't tell you that they walked you right into the lion's den like it wasn't nothing. They didn't tell you that they had absolutely no respect for your safety. They didn't tell you that. You sure found out, though, because you thought that you was going there to help. Meanwhile, you were going there to hurt. For some people, that might be okay. But I don't appreciate going into a situation where I think I'm going to talk. Come to find out, I was going there to rumble. I might not be dressed to rumble. I was dressed to talk. Like, I don't rumble with these gaiters on. But look at me. Slip and slide records. T. Carrie Wright says, some people test well. That's true. He says, if someone says, I need a little help with their car, I'm prepared to carpool. Okay, good. We're getting this. That's good. If they need a little help with their car, yeah, be ready to give that ride. Or if they think that you have some mechanical skill, guess what happens? I need some help changing this tire. Someone please help me. I got a flat tire. Shout out to everybody who knows how to change a flat tire. Shout out to the women who know how to change a flat tire. And there are a lot of women that know how to change a flat tire. Not rocket science. But you know what? Shout out to the people who try to change a flat tire without getting dirty. Because that takes some skill. It ain't easy. It is not easy changing a flat tire without getting dirty or without sweating. Because first of all, a tire is heavy and it's awkward. Especially when you're trying to carry the tire away from your body. So you might try to roll the tire, but you gotta pull the tire off of those lug nuts. And you have to put the tire on the lug nuts. And it's an awkward thing. A tire is a very awkward. They are. It's a very awkward thing. And kind of heavy. Heavy and awkward. Sort of like a medicine ball. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. She knows how to change a flat tire. Also me, but I get dirty still. Yeah. Try not to get dirty. You be trying. Like, as soon as you wear light colors, I don't know about y'all, but whenever I wear light colors, yeah, I'm either going to sweat it out or I'm going to have to get it dirty. When I wear white,
Somebody needs to just come along and throw some curry powder on me. Get it over with. Get it over with. That's what we need to do. Market some curry stained shirts. Cut out the middle man. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. We should get some Jamaican curry stained shirts. This is my curry go eating shirt. Curry chicken eating shirt. Jerk chicken eating shirt. Yeah. This is my Jamaican food shirt. Curry stained shirt. Shirt stained shirt. This is my Jamaican food stained shirt. Curry stained shirt. Shirt stained shirt. This is my Jamaican food stained shirt. Curry stained shirt. Make it. Ding! Marketing idea. Feel free to steal. Because I'd be damned if I didn't try to eat some curry goat on Friday with a light-colored shirt. Know what happened?
Yep, that's what happened.
I was like, every single time. Every single time. I need a bib. No, I need a whole set of overalls when I eat. I eat curry. I'm like, why the curry got a splash? So, yeah. So, trying to change a tire without getting dirty is not an easy thing to do. I'm sure there's somebody out there that can do it. I'm sure there. I know I've tried. I have. I've definitely tried. But it would have been probably better for me to just go ahead and hug the tire and get it all dirty. When you're wearing clothes that you don't mind getting dirty, do you realize how much power you have? There is no power in trying to stay clean. But when you already dirty and you don't mind getting dirtier, ooh. That is powerful. Tell me I'm lying. For my people out there who do gardening, you go out there in your gardening gear. You already ready to get dirty. Mechanics, you already got on your dirty gear. Now you can get up under stuff. You can touch things. You can reach things. You can do what you want to do. You try not to get dirty. You study. Okay. All right. Here's the thing. Here. Make sure that if you're going to change a tire, do it in your play clothes. You ain't too old to have play clothes. Y'all remember the first few days of school when you had to wear your school clothes, come home and change it to your play clothes. You know, that got old as the semester went on. But in them first few weeks of school, no, you ain't get to play all day in them school clothes. Mm-mm. These clothes are new. Come home and change into them tough skins. Remember Sears? The tough skins with the patch built already into the knee of the shoe. I mean, knee of the shoe. The knee of the jeans. Remember tough skins? Yeah, tough skins. You had a pair of tough skins. You know you did. Wranglers, tough skins, but tough skins had the damn patch built into the pants. Back in my day, kids, they, for some reason, wore out or got holes in the knees of their pants. I still don't know why and how it always happened, but we did. Remember? So they had to have patches. I remember my mom putting patches on pants. Why did we mess up the knees and pants so much? I don't remember being on my knees a lot.
TK Wright says, I still have play clothes. You gotta have play clothes. There's power in play clothes, man. You can get busy. Ain't nobody in their school clothes gonna beat you at nothing physical when you got your play clothes on. They not. Imagine somebody trying to play run ball with you, challenge you to a game of basketball, and they got on their school clothes and you got on your play clothes. I don't care how good they are. Because they're not going to be handling that ball right. They scared to mess up their school clothes, and they scared to mess up their school sneakers. And your sneaks were part of your school clothes. But you was already told by your mama not to mess up those school sneakers and those school clothes. Don't play ball in these sneakers. Come home, take these sneakers off. Take these sneakers off, put on your play sneaks, the ones that might have a hole in them. I don't know, all these holes where the heel might be messed up on them or something like that. And since we're talking about children a little bit, kids, when kids ask you for help for something, they mean that they need you to do it. 9 times out of 10. Dad, I need help with my bike. That means you have a flat tire. They don't mean that they want to fix the flat tire. They mean, Dad, I need you to fix the flat tire. Dad, my chain came off of my bike. Dad, my chain came off of my bike. Dad, my chain came off of my bike. This is 10 feet. Can you fix it right? Now, Dad, I need some help on my bike. Dad, I need some help on my bike. Dad, I need some help on my bike. Fix my brakes. Fix my brakes. My handlebars keep falling. Yes, they do. My handlebars keep falling. Yo, yes, they do. Can you just tighten up this screw so my handlebars don't keep falling like they do? Kids mean for adults to do what they need them to do when they ask for help. You know, if you ever had a child who struggles with their schoolwork, when they ask for help with their homework, they mean that they want you to do the homework. Just this one time, Mom. Just this one time, Dad. Shout out to people who had parents that could help them with their homework. Not everybody had parents that could help with their homework. Like, I don't know that shit. Better get a tutor or something. You might have to do something in school that I never did. Like, pay attention. I know one thing. You asking me to help you with your homework, I'm gonna help you with firing up that ass if I have to come up to school because you got suspended again. That's all I know. That's all I know. If you ain't gonna be smart, you gotta at least be good. If you ain't gonna be smart, you gotta at least be good. That's what they said. That's what they said. Yeah. When they need some help. What do they mean when they say they need some help? Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when some people really do just need some help with doing something. And it can be disheartening when somebody who can help refuses to help. Because they don't want you to get farther than they have gotten, because they are jealous, or because they secretly don't like you and they actually don't want to see you doing well. Well, for probably some other reasons, none of which are positive reasons or negative reasons. But sometimes people will offer you help. Now, like my dad used to say, and a whole lot of other people, if you're willing to help yourself, somebody will normally step in and help you also. Normally. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. But when somebody sees that you don't want to do any other work and you just want to reap the benefits of the work that is being done, a lot of people aren't willing to help in those situations. Some people are, though. Some people are still willing to help in those situations. But you have to know your audience. Once again, you got to know who they are. You have to know how far you can go with them or not. Help. What about in relationships? What comes to your mind when somebody tells you that they need help in their marriage or help in their relationships? Is that a red flag? Is that a red flag for some people? Have you found that when somebody says that they need help in their relationship? I don't know. I think when it comes to relationships, when people ask for help, they probably really do need help. I should hope. What other way would there be to deal with a relationship or a marriage? How could you need help with that without just needing assistance to be able to come together, be together, stay together? And it could just be my brain not working well. It could be that. I'll even take the charge. I'll take the charge. He got brought up on charges. He got brought up on charges. But yeah, when somebody says they need help in their relationship, they need help in their marriage, sometimes it could actually mean that they want you to put hands on them. Like, you want me to what? I just need you to show my boyfriend what's up. Ooh, what's up, what's up, what's up? Or is it, ooh, you know, what's up? What is it? Shout out to Donnell Jones. Rest in peace, Lisa Letalope. Lisa Lope. Lisa Letalope. Lisa Lope. Rest in peace. But yeah. When you need help in relationship matters, sometimes people might ask you to actually fight for them, or they might need you to give them advice, or they may want you to talk to the other person involved to try to find a way to get to a worthy compromise, or at least to quell the situation to where it doesn't get violent. Even when that violence, sometimes it's too much violence. Need help. I need help getting my business off the ground. What are people talking about when they say they need help getting their business off the ground? They can mean a variety of things. They might need startup capital. They may need money for supplies after they've already started up. They may need promotional materials. They may need a street team, which is promotion. You know, they might need somebody to help them get the word out. Or they might need a loan. I need a business loan. Speaking of business loan, let me me talk to some of my business owners out there. How much money would you say, startup capital, would you say that you need in order to start a business? Now, I know that it can depend on which kind of business that you're talking about. But generally, if you're not talking about something that's all the way up at the top, like, you know, where you need other things in place in order to make them happen. Let's see. Like a restaurant. You're going to need more than just money in order to start up a restaurant. But you will need money to start up the restaurant. So how much money would you say that you need? T. Carey Wright says, depends on the business. Some is only $300 to $1,000. Wow. Shit. I don't know. I'm thinking if you don't have $300 to $1,000, I don't know if you should be in business. But then again, back in the day, if you had $1,000, you could come up on a pack of cocaine and flip that to you. You might have even been able to get an eighth of a key for that $1,000. Maybe. An eight ball? Nah, I don't know about that. Not for $1,000. I don't know. Okay, right. Said, a restaurant, you need investors. Absolutely. Opening a restaurant is such a risky business. You know, you got to have licenses and inspections on your side, the Board of Health, and restaurant businesses. Woo! People ain't coming in there to buy your food, man. You be stressed. Stressed. What's about? $50,000 of your own. Oh, for a restaurant. $50,000 of your own money and investors? Wow. Might be better to just go ahead and get a food truck. You know you can get in for less than that. Go and get yourself a food truck. You make a lot of money on a food truck. But you can be shut. You can have your food truck shut down just like any other private standing business. So, but yeah, if you need help with your business, you might need somebody to do a variety of things. T.K. Wright says, buying a food truck for my son for graduation. I remember I was going to do that years ago. I was all gung-ho and hype. I wanted to do a fish truck. Looking back on it, my vision wasn't big enough. Because I really thought, I was like, yeah, fish, this would be the thing. Like everybody loves fish. And a lot of people do, but not everybody. Of course, you don't have to sell to everybody in order to turn a profit. But if you only going to sell fish, you're really limiting yourself. So it'd be like fish and chicken and waffles. Shout out to people who act like chicken and waffles is just that shit. I don't know. Yes, I realize I may just not have had the chicken and waffles of my dreams yet. Yes, I get it. All I know is that when I was younger, as a child, I've never eaten an Eggo waffle or anything else. And thought to myself, like, dang, man, if I had some chicken to go with this. Like, all this syrup and butter, all right, that's cool. But if I had some chicken, these waffles would be off the cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-ching. Set up and you see. Oh, wait. Nah, all fish and veggies is dope. Okay. I was thinking the more products you have, the merrier. Although you should have a focus on one thing. But if you're going to sell all fish, you're going to have that fish is going to have to be on some other. It's going to have to be blowing shit out. Because it's easy to think that everybody eats fish and everybody will come in and give you a play. It's not necessarily true. People want all halal, all barbecue, all vegan, all fish. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I see what you're saying. Yes. Sounds good, too. Sounds good.
Yes. Need help. Just need a little help. Why won't anybody help me? I will help you. As a matter of fact, I helped you last time. You fronting on me. Vibe with Denny front on me. Vibe would do front on me. I would not front on you. I would not. Shall not. Is not. Ain't not. Yeah. So as long as you're prepared for somebody to, as long as you understand or know the person, that person's motivation is the one that's asking you for help, then you can go ahead and be more effective when it comes to them. Other than that, they can make it a long day for you. Gary Wright says, I have a major problem asking, but no problem helping. Yeah, I would encourage you to balance that out. Try to get some balance. Try to get some balance. Balance. I mean, it's not always easy being the giver all the time and never the receiver. Because, you know, people who give, they need things all the time. But just like you said, a lot of times they won't ask. And it's not that. It's not that the people that who want to help you won't help you, or but I found out from doing stuff all by myself all the time, or doing stuff by myself all the time, is that actually that can be a turnoff for some people because they notice that you're always willing to help but never receive help, and so they kind of feel like you're being selfish. Now it sounds crazy that a person would look at you as being selfish because you do everything by yourself, or because you don't ask for help, but yeah, people look at it that way because they can look at it like, well, you know, every time I need something, I call on you and you come and we're able to, like, okay, let me just put it this way. People get something out of helping. And helping somebody or allowing somebody to help you builds trust. It builds bonds. Like, look, I did this for you. You did this for me. We're in this thing together. We're in this love together. We got a love that lasts forever. Or is it, we're in this thing together? I don't know. George Benson, you know. We're in this love together. We got the kind that lasts forever. How do the lyrics go? I'm a George Benson fan. Let me know. So yeah, when you help somebody and allow people to help them, they know if you ask them to help you, that you trust them.
that you feel like they are reliable. It gives a sense of purpose, a sense of duty. So let somebody help, man. Stop doing anything by yourself, man. Because a woman needs love just like you do. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you don't.
Ray Parker Jr.
A woman needs love just like you do. Ow. And don't fool yourself.
Let's do these birthday shout-outs really quick.
Yeah. Rev. We got some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious. July 10th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-F-E-E-C-T. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-F-E-E-C-T. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-F-E-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Wanda Pretty, turning 28 years old today, and also Al Marie McIntyre turning 49 years old today. No relation. But what up, cuz? What's going on? And also Melissa B. Melissa B. And she's raising money for the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Happy birthday to you turning 53 years old today. And also Travion Jackson. Travion Jackson turning. Okay, never mind. Anyway, happy birthday to you, Travion. And Bonia Amil, turning 38 years old today, and Dago Finesse turning 43 years old today, and Caddy Browning, so nice, I had to say it twice, turning 37 years old today, and Tyrone Smith turning 57 years old today, and Mark Harris turning 52 years old today, and Franklin D. Conyers, happy birthday to you. And Lavonda Yamaya Rogers Wilson, happy birthday to you. That's my girl. And Paulette Corsi McQueen, my girl. You know what I mean? Going all the way back to the KFC on the corner of Broad and Girard, 1986. Yay! My girl, Paulette Corsi McQueen. Richard Allen, stand up all day. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all. Turning 54. She was only 2 years older than me, y'all. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious July 10th anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. We're going to turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, check it out. Feel me on this. It's going down like this. You need help, miss. Everybody needs a little help, but you have to identify exactly how much help they need. If nothing else, that will at least allow you to be able to help them in the right direction, to make sure that you are gathering the right resources in order to wield the right result. It's a good thing. I need help. Someone please help me. I got a flat tire. And don't be afraid to ask somebody for some help, especially, you know, like T. Carrie Wright was saying, if you are always helping somebody, man, don't be afraid to get some help. People look at it like your ego is too big to accept help when you don't ask for help. Trust me, you got to trust me on this one. You got to trust me on this. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure y'all share the show.
Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. All right, so Blog Talk, we gonna get you on up out of here. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the other side, my boobers. Peace. Yeah. Well, peace.